Take your Bibles and turn with me if you would. We're back in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to rewind just a little bit. Luke chapter 2. You got the scriptures up on the, at least the reference up here on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. If you wouldn't mind, one more time, once you've found that, would you stand with me in the honor of, as we honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. There's Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus. And the child grew, this is 12 years later, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us, or thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And here we have the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus on earth. And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. The entrance of your word bringeth light. And tonight we ask that you would guide our feet, guide our paths, examine our hearts. And as our brother prayed, whatever you want to do, we're your servants, we're your children. And we ask you to speak to us. And we know that we're prone to wander, Father. We know that we leave the God that we love so much. But you're still there. And we ask you not only to speak and to help us to hear you, but give us the strength and the grace to do whatever it is you ask us to do. This is our prayer tonight. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We find an interesting passage of Scripture as we find Mary and Joseph headed home after a week of meetings. A little different than what we've been. Wasn't focused on the tabernacle, but on the Passover. Once a year, for three feasts, one of which was the Passover, all the males were to head up to Jerusalem for these feasts. Well, at this particular time, Joseph took his family with him, and Jesus was right there along with him. And we find something very interesting. Now, Dr. Luke records this for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is the only time that this piece of Christ's childhood is recorded. We don't find it in Matthew. We don't find it in Mark. We don't find it in John. It's only here in Luke. And the title of my message tonight is something that, as I was praying about what to speak on, I mean, we're full. I don't know about you, but I'm full. I mean, we have been feasting all week long. Amen? Amen. And so, if anything, this is a message of a very personal application. This is a message of soul searching. This is a message of warning, but also a message of encouragement. I want to speak to our young ones, especially in the back. I was going to ask you to come up and fill up the front rows, but I know you're tired, just like everything. So as long as you don't talk or as long as you don't fall asleep, I want to ask you to come forward. So we're going to have some lessons here that if you will follow them, young people, and older ones, you will be able to listen in as well, will change your life. And we need to remember that this is God speaking through His Word. It's not about anything but about Him. And once we hear, it's our responsibility to obey. Now that sounds so simple, but yet it's so hard for us to get, isn't it? So tonight I want us to discuss about something that can happen to all of us, and that's losing Jesus amidst good works. Losing Jesus amidst good works. Mr. Trent, in one of his commentaries, K. Trent, says, though Mary and Joseph had lost Jesus, their relationship to Him was not changed. Notice, they lost Jesus. Jesus did not lose them. Amen. It's interesting, if you look in our first four verses, 39, 40, 41, 42, if you read back through that, you're going to find out that Mary and Joseph were a very active family. The word went is used four times in those five verses, and returned is used once. They were a family that worshiped together. They were a family that honored the law, and they wanted to do all things that were pleasing and right in Heavenly Father's sight. We find them there in the temple. We remember the story. We read it just a few months ago in Christmas with Simeon, seeing the salvation of the Lord. Then Anna the prophetess right there on scene, seeing that. And then we find the story of them going up for Passover, and they've been there a whole week, and they're on their way home. And this is where our story begins tonight. But we have to ask ourselves a few questions tonight. And I'm going to throw an outline up here, and if you've got something to write with, please write it down. Young people in the back, find a pen or pencil. Write this down. I don't know about you, but if I write something down, I tend to stay on track. So how can you lose Jesus? How do you go about doing that? Let's look at some of the causes that we find here in our passage tonight. Verse 43, through simple carelessness. Look with me in verse 43. Keep your Bibles open too. We'll be referring back to them quite frequently. It says, and when they had fulfilled the days, that's the days of the feast, as they returned, remember they're in Jerusalem and they're heading back to Nazareth, the child Jesus, some of your translations might have the word boy, tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I'll get my tongue untied here in a minute. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They knew it not. Now I want you to understand something here. Mary and Joseph weren't bad parents. And some of the criticism that they get is in part due to our lack of understanding of kind of what went on during those times. Okay, a day's journey was about 20 miles, and they went on foot, and if they had some means about them, they would maybe have a donkey or something like that for maybe the wife to ride on or whatever, or to put baggage of some sort or what have you. But they would travel in groups. It'd be kind of like a neighborhood. It'd be like a family camping trip. And you went together for a very practical way because it was safer, because there were robbers and thieves and things of that nature. And typically what happened is the ladies would kind of travel together and they would be ahead and the guys would have a little group behind and they would kind of travel together and they would go a day's journey and they would pitch camp. And so if you can understand, this was a big feast. There were a lot of people, and so there's this big crowd of people, and so they're going back, and the days were accomplished, and they were on their way back, and it was probably nighttime, and you know how it is at the end of the day. You're pitching, you're getting your tent up, or whatever, you're getting your sleeping bag out, and Joe probably says, Mary, will you go find, where's Jesus? Go see where he is. And they start looking around, and they're talking to neighbors and friends. Well, he's not there. Now, there's a good explanation for this. We know that Jesus was 12. And so Jesus is approaching that age where he becomes a man, okay? Age 13 was when he had his bar mitzvah, and he would go. It's the rite of passage when the 12-year-old would turn 13, and all the rights and responsibilities of what a man would be would fall upon him. He would become a son of the law. In other words, it wasn't up to Mary and Joseph at that time. He was accountable to himself to understand the word of God, to understand the law of God, and to obey it. So what may very well have happened, Jesus, usually with children, they would travel with the ladies, and the guys would kind of be together. So maybe it was at this particular time, it's right before he's getting ready to become a man, and maybe he's hanging out with the guys. And Mary's like, oh, he's traveling with Joe and the group, and they're going on back. And so they're going about their way, and maybe Joseph's saying, well, he's with Mary, and they're going their way. And they probably called themselves, they probably had other nicknames, but have a little fun with that. But we don't know what's happened, but they weren't bad parents, but it was just simple carelessness. You know, we find in Scripture that there's other people who walked away and thought that Jesus was with them when they wasn't. Remember Samson? Samson rose up, and he knew not the Lord had departed from him. The church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3:17, knew not that they were blind, that they were naked, that they were poor, that they were wretched. They thought that they were okay, but they had a problem. And what we have to ask ourselves this question tonight is, how often do we assume that Christ is with us and that we're walking in His presence? How often do we assume that, and it's not true? Have you ever found yourself walking away from the Lord, gotten in a situation and realized you were out of fellowship with Him? If you'll notice there in verse number 43, it says that Jesus tarried. See, His ways and thoughts aren't always our ways and thoughts. And although He was fully man, He was fully God. But He decided to stay. We don't have any record of his mom or dad telling him not to. He stayed. And beloved, we have to be so careful to maintain a close relationship with the Savior. Because He may be heading one way, and we may be going our way. And if we're not careful, we can go a whole day and recognize He's not with us. But not only can we lose Christ through simple carelessness, but also through stopped communication. Look in verse 44. Again, they were going right along thinking everything was fine, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They went a whole day and didn't talk to him. Now, let me pause here just a second and tell you this. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you're in his hand. The Bible says in John 10 that he gives eternal life to them. And he said, they shall never perish. And he said, nobody shall ever pluck them out of my hand, the Lord Jesus says. And he said, they'll never pluck them out of my Father's hands. So this is not security. This is about fellowship. This is about maintaining a relationship and sin not being in there. And that's where we're drawing our application tonight. Didn't want anybody to miss out on that. But stopped communication. They went a whole day without speaking to him. I mean, that's understandable given the circumstances, right? How often do we go a whole day without talking to Jesus? Fellowshipping with Him. Spending time with Him. Well, it don't take long, does it? Our heart grows cold. We get back in the old ways of the flesh. We don't read this book. We don't ask Him for help. And we try to do things in our own strength, in our own flesh. And it was true what He said, wasn't it, in John 15? That apart from Him, we can do nothing. And it's typically us falling on our face, and then we realize something's missing, something's wrong. Stopped communication. But there's one other thing. Look at the social crowd. Verse 44. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They had probably had a great time. They got to see some people they hadn't seen all year long. I mean, they had this feast. They were remembering how the Lord had delivered their forefathers out of Egypt by the blood of that Passover lamb. They were encouraged in their faith. They were encouraged that this was the great I Am who was their God, and they were His people, and He was alive, and He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He's the I Am. And they were encouraged just like we're encouraged having come off of those week of meetings. Amen? I mean, there's a joy in our heart. Maybe there's a renewed fellowship in your prayer time. Maybe there's an excitement and a renewed joy because you've been reminded of how great God is and how wonderful His Word is. And we've enjoyed the fellowship. I mean, wasn't it great sitting and eating and talking and getting to meet new people? Visitors from all over the place. I saw people I'd never seen before. And some of you who I've seen every Sunday since we've been here, I got a chance to sit down and talk with you. It was great. And we socialized and we had good fellowship. But could the crowd and the family and the friends, could they have been a distraction? Well, yeah. We all get caught up sometimes, don't we? We look and, oh, wow, look at the time. Now, I'm not saying that family and friends are bad, but we know fellowship's a good thing. But it's not good when it causes us to lose sight of Christ. That's exactly what had happened. Simple carelessness. Doesn't take much. Stop communication. We get lazy, don't we? We get tired. We don't pray. Before we know it, we've lost Christ. We've walked away from Him. One thing I love about God's Word is whenever we see something like this, He never points out a problem without giving us a cure, does He? There's always something there. Well, what was the cure to this? What's the remedy? How do we fix this separation issue? Well, look what happened. First of all, they stopped. They pitched camp. They went looking. They stopped moving forward. They were moving away and they stopped. Verse 44. And then they surveyed. Notice they went around. They supposed Him to be in the company. They went a day's journey. They sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. They were going around. Can you imagine? And we've been there before. Has anybody ever had a child that's gotten away from them? Any parents? Can I see a show of hands just so I know that y'all are listening? Amen. Okay. All right. Hold up two hands if they scared the living daylights out of you. Amen. Amen. That's the worst feeling. And kids in the back, I don't want to be one of those people that say, your time's coming, but it's just a scary thing because we love you guys so much. But you can imagine that at first it was probably, oh, Mary, it's okay. Mary, he's fine. We'll go check. And they might have gone together and they were going, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? And then you notice the intensity picked up, right? Because then with the people that he normally would hang around with, I mean, that was a few of his friends, he's not there. And then you start going to people and you've checked every tent and it's dark. Okay, and so the intensity's heightening. Okay, mama's got that look in her eyes. Men, we know what that looks like, right? Okay, they surveyed, they looked around, they found out what was going on. Let me ask you tonight, are you away from the Lord? Has your love gone cold? The meetings were great. Yeah, Michael, it was good teaching. I love Brother Amos. I loved everything about that, but I just don't know what it is. It's okay. Because even though they were scared, and even though they were away from their child, about 20 miles, it was okay. Hey, man, because he was still in control. I mean, he was God. If you find yourself away from the Lord, stop. Stop. Look around, see where you're at. And then look what happened. They switched directions. Verse 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Oh, you know where I'm going with this. You know where I'm going with this. They were heading north, right? They turned around and they went south. It's the picture of repentance. It's a 180. That's all repentance is. It's changing your mind. It's a change in mind that results in an about face. But you know, you can't get back where you need to be if that doesn't happen. I mean, did you hear that? You may be away from the Lord tonight. You may be struggling with something. And you may stop and you may understand where you're at. But there has to be a change. We've been studying in our discipleship group with some of the young men about how to go. We can't stay where we are and go with God. There has to be major adjustments. If you go through the Bible and you look and see all those people who God called, all He called to follow them, they had to do what? They had to make major adjustments in their life to go with Him. Sometimes major adjustments in their beliefs, in their commitments, in their relationship, in their thinking, in their actions. But there was some type of change that had to take place. Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. Okay, you can't stay where you are and go with God. If my brother says, hey, let's go to the store and get some ice cream. Let's go, brother. I can't go. I've got to move. I've got to move. So they switched directions. They changed where they were going. But don't miss what was in verse 45. They turn back again to Jerusalem, look with it, seeking Him. Now, every mom and dad in this place knew where this word was coming in. Eventually, it was coming in. Look down to verse 48. At the last part of it, it says, "Thy father and I have sought thee," what? "Sorrowing." It moved to a level of, "He's not here. What are we going to do, Joseph?" to, "Oh my word, He's really not here." And you enter into that panic stage. And everything in you wants to come apart, but you know you've got to get where you need to be. Amen? That's exactly what was going on. They sought Him sorrowing. This is a strong word. And if you'll look in the Bible, as you read back through this passage, it's used four times in this passage. And this wasn't a leisurely trip. Let's just turn in the morning and we'll head back. I'll guarantee you they traveled through the night. I would have. They didn't take for granted His deity. They focused on the responsibility. He's God, Joseph, remember? He'll be okay. There's not a mom in here or a dad in here that wouldn't turn around and head back. Well, we have to make it personal, don't we? We've got to stop. Do we take God's grace for granted? When we realize that we've moved away from Him. Yeah, I got the stopping, Michael. I know what I'm doing wrong. You don't have to remind me, Michael. I know I need to change. I get that. But will you? Because see, they sought Him sorrowing. See, they loved Him so much. And they didn't want anything to happen to Him. That they would do whatever it took to get back to Him. What a beautiful picture of how we need to treat our straying from the Lord in our own lives. We don't need to take it for granted. Oh, marvelous, abounding grace, amazing grace. Yes, it is. And yes, He will forgive and He will abundantly pardon. But listen to what Paul writes in Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What should we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Jesus is up here. Let's keep going this way. No, I know I'm not with Him. No, I know I'm leaving. I'm in the wrong direction. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, we're separated from sin, it doesn't have control over us, live any longer therein? It's not us anymore. Verse 15 of that same chapter says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. It is an amazing grace. And it's a boundless grace. And it's a grace that you'll never be able to exhaust. No one can exhaust His grace, but it's not a grace that we abuse. And when we find out that we're away from the Lord, whether it's a small sin, whether it's a step, or whether it's 100 steps, or whether it's 20 miles or a day's journey, we need to seek the Lord once we've surveyed and stopped and looked around. We need to get back. Mary and Joseph give us a beautiful picture. We need to return sorrowfully, passionately. Michael, you don't know what I'm involved in. I've tried. I can't get back. I don't want to just pray that prayer again. I know if I confess it, but I just can't get victory over this. I've been there. Hey, let's be real. We're family, aren't we? You see these people around you? This is the body of Christ. These are people that are messed up just like you are that have been saved. Amen? None of us got it together. Okay? And that's a lie the devil's told you. Because you look at somebody and think they've got it all together, he's lied to you. Because they're just as messed up as you are. We're all limping along. And that's a little kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. Because just when we think we've got it all together, we'll fall on that face, won't we? Amen, brother? Amen. So you need to realize that you've got help. Michael, I don't know if I can trust somebody. Well, how's it working on your own? Let's not forget that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. We can confess our sins to one another. We can bear one another's burdens. Amen? We're seeing that with some of our young adults in our young adult groups. We've got people that are sharing. We've got people that are struggling. We meet for prayer and we'll break up. The guys will break over here and the ladies will break up over here. And one of the things that we tell, and I'm just going to share this with you. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. But when we go to prayer, we say, look, guys, whatever's shared in here stays in here. These are prayer requests. These are people that need help. This is not something for us to go and post it on Facebook or gossip about it. Let's keep it in here and let's pray for one another and let's love on one another. And you know what? This group gets it. And we've got brothers who are sharing and praying for each other and our weaknesses, and we've got sisters that are doing the same. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. And when we get to the point where we realized he's over there and we're over here, and I know that I've come over here because I did it because I wanted to. And sometimes I don't even want to go back. Understand that. That's the flesh. You need people in your life that are going to hold you accountable. You need people in your life that you can talk to. They're not going to judge you, but say, I've been there. It's okay. Let's go back together. Notice Mary didn't go by herself. Neither did Joseph. They went back together. Well, what do we find? What do we find? When they went back and they finally found him, they got back to Jerusalem. 3 days. A day there, a day back, and a day to find him. I mean, I just can't. Can you imagine? I mean, I really can't enter into that. 3 days. We see on TV all the stuff with missing children. I mean, it's crazy. It's the topic of about every sitcom that's on there. It's everywhere. It's an evil in our world. And this wasn't, it was just he stayed. But the whole thought of that, I just can't enter in. And so they're back, they found him, and what do they find? What do they see as they come back, they're in Jerusalem, they go into the temple, and they see the Savior sitting. They see the Savior sitting. Look with me. Verse number 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. We find an example here. And it's interesting when you stop and think, 30 years before he goes into his earthly ministry. And we have a couple of brief snapshots. We have him at Bethlehem. We have him when they're going to Egypt. Just a brief snapshot. We have him when the wise men come, right before they left for Egypt. And then we have this. It's at age 12. He's getting ready to go into adulthood. We really could spend a couple of months on this passage right here. But let's look at his example. He's sitting among the teachers. He's listening. He's asking questions. Let's go back. He's sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him, verse 47, were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now, before we jump into this, we know what he told Mary. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And we're going to get into some stuff here that you're not going to understand, and I'm not going to understand, because it's the mystery of him being fully God and fully man. And you'll find that the book ends on this passage. Back up in verse number 39, 40. Listen to this real quickly. And follow with me. He says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So we know he was born a baby and he got stronger and taller and he grew and developed physically. But look, he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Skip to 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. There he is, he's still growing, but he's increasing in wisdom, and he's increasing in favor with God and with man. Now, he never was part God, he was always fully God. He was the God-man. When he came down the birth canal and Mary had him in her arms, he was fully God. He was the great I Am. He didn't cease to be God at any point or time. He just veiled his glory. But he was growing in wisdom. He was growing in stature. How could the one who knows everything grow in wisdom? I don't know. But he did. And we find an example. young people. He's 12. Look what he's doing. He's sitting. One of the commentators pointed out Psalms 119, 99, and 100 says this. Might have been a prophecy of this event. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I don't know, but I thought that was pretty cool. But yet he was sitting among the teachers. Now typically, if a disciple, a rabbi would be the one sitting. Okay? If we were back in the day, and you guys were disciples, and I was the rabbi, the teacher, it'd be kind of flip-flopped here. I'd be sitting and you'd be standing. That's kind of the tradition. That's how it went. But we find that Jesus was sitting. Very interesting. Very interesting. Almost as if he was a peer. And we know that he was God. But here he was. He was increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God. But here he is. He's sitting and he's listening. Learn, young people, learn from this. What were you capable of at age 12? Guys, you can listen in, okay? But younger ones, at age 12, could it be said of you that you were filled with wisdom? Filled with wisdom. Wow. Not me. Not me. But that's what it says of the Lord Jesus. Filled with wisdom. Well, what can we learn from this? Well, first of all, I'm talking to the young people, but guys, I think you can listen on this too. We need to grow in wisdom. Notice the order of what was going on. Look back in the scripture. He's sitting, he's hearing, and he's asking questions. He's sitting, hearing, asking questions. He's spending time with older, mature believers. He's listening to what they have to say. He's taking serious his responsibility. We heard quoted from our brother Randy Amos this week from 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Let me ask you this, young people. Do you have an older believer in your life who's mature, who's discipling you? Yes, you need mom and dad. If you have a mom and dad and they're believers and they know the Lord, you need to be going to them. You need to be asking them questions. And I hope you do. And I know a lot of you and you do that. And I praise the Lord for that. But maybe these doctors of the law could give him something that Mary and Joseph couldn't. What might he be talking to them about? Well, they just had gotten done with Passover. And the very Passover lamb is sitting in their midst. You know, did he know that he was the lamb? He was full of wisdom. He had to. But maybe he was learning. Maybe he was at a point where it was kind of all coming together. And the Lord was, God the Father was revealing it to him. I don't know. But he went to older believers. He went to people who knew the Word of God. And he was sitting there humbly listening to what they had to say. And he was asking questions. What do you do in your spare time? What do you do when you're sitting? Young people, older people, what are you taking in? Is it mostly in front of the television? Is it in front of the video games? Those things aren't bad in and of themselves. I love to play some games. I love that. I love to get the game system and all sorts of good stuff. Moderation. I love to watch a good movie. Man, I love a good movie. We watched a good movie here back in New Year's Eve. I love it. But what are you giving your time to? Jesus was sitting there listening to them. But he was also speaking. He was also speaking. Mary comes up to him and she's like, why did you do this? Why did you do this? She said, son, why have you thus dealt with us? Watch this. Behold, thy father, little F, and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, to his mom and dad, how is it you sought me? Wist or know you not that I must be about my, capital F, father's business. My father's business. He was 12. Still learning, full of wisdom, fully God, fully man. Mary didn't understand that. It says that she treasured these things and kept them in her heart. But at age 12, he knew his purpose. Let me ask you this, young people, and I want every eye on me. I've got some that aren't looking at me. I want every eye on me. Okay? I'm not going to call anybody out, but I want you to look at me, okay? Do you know your purpose? Do you know your destiny? Do you know right now what is required of you by the Lord? Do you know, maybe not all the details, but where He's sending you? And have you surrendered to the fact, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to do. Let me tell you, Jesus at age 12 knew what He was about. He knew His mission. He knew His destiny. And there He was, learning, listening, asking questions. And listen to what the Bible says in all verse 47. All that heard Him were astonished. I mean, it almost messed them up mentally. They just couldn't quite get a hold of it. I remember reading one translation. I think it was Young's literal translation. It says, to the point of not being able to really think through it. The stuff that was coming out of His mouth. They were astonished at His understanding and His answers to their questions. Well, Michael, I don't know what God has for me. I know I'm His. That's good. You need to know you're saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Praise the Lord for those three this morning who publicly declared their faith. That's the most clear presentation of the gospel that you'll ever see. Maybe you saw that and you were convicted. Maybe you're not a young person. Maybe you're an older person. Maybe you've been a deacon. Maybe you've been in the church. Maybe you've served here for I don't know how many years. But you recognize this morning that Christ is not your Savior. Look to the cross. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. There's no shame in that, but believe now. Michael, that's all I know. That's okay. Jesus knew where He was headed. Mary didn't have a clue what that meant. I must be about my Father's business. And there's the application that we get tonight is sometimes we won't understand what the Lord says or does. And that's okay. But look what Mary did. Verse number 50. And they understood not the saying which He spoke unto them. The end of verse 51. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. We find in this chapter she's doing a lot of that, right? Right, brother? She's getting a lot of overload. Mary's seeing angels and she's seeing this and prophecies and she's taking her son in and he said, God told me that I won't die till I see your salvation. I mean, Mary, I'm sure Mary's like, wow. I mean, you know, I would be like flipping out. Okay? I mean, really, that's a lot for anybody to handle. But it says she kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. Maybe you don't know where you're headed. Maybe you don't have a clue. But take what the Lord is speaking to you. Take what you've heard this week. Take notes. Pray through it. If you don't understand some of the stuff that was gone over, find an older brother or sister. First of all, ask mom and dad if they're believers and they know the word. If not, find an older brother or sister. Do what Jesus did. Ask questions. Listen. The Lord will reveal it. Not only was He sitting, not only was He speaking, but He was submitting. When He was submitting, He said unto them, verse 49, how is it you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which He spoke unto them. Now you're going to find some scoffers and mockers that will take this passage here. And they'll say, Jesus was an obedient child. He disobeyed mom and dad. Well, that can't be true. He perfectly kept the law. Amen? Commandment number 5. Commandment number 1. No gods before Him. Right? Commandment number 5. Honor thy father and thy mother. He fully kept that. So it was a misunderstanding. I'm sure Mary and Joseph didn't say, make sure you stay with us. I mean, He was God. I mean, He was the perfect child. I mean, they never had to spank Him. They never had to discipline Him. They never would have thought He would have stayed behind. It didn't enter their mind. He was always perfect. Mary's thinking, I need to clean those dishes. And Jesus knows what she's thinking, maybe, and goes over and, I mean, what would that household look like? I mean, she didn't have to say anything. I mean, He was perfect. So it wasn't like He was breaking any commandments or rules or anything. And she doesn't come and chide Him or scold Him. I mean, she's just glad to see Him. Son, why have you dealt with us? We've sought you sorrowing. Mom, how'd you not know where I wouldn't be? I've got to be about my father's house, my father's business. We find here Jesus submitting. It says, even though they understood it not, verse 50, 51, he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he was subject unto them. His mother kept all of these sayings in her heart. We see the Savior submitting. The Savior submitting. Let me tell you something. You may be looking for a closer walk with the Lord. You may still be stuck in the first part of our text tonight where you're away from the Lord. I can promise you something. Those who seek after him will find him. Seek with your heart. Seek with your whole heart, the scripture says. But do it while it's day and the night before the night comes. Do it before it's too late. If you're lost, come to him. If you're his, don't put it off. Come to him. He's always there. But we will find him when you seek him. But what a beautiful picture this is. It says he went down with them and he came to Nazareth. He submitted to mom and dad. He went right with them down to Nazareth. It's kind of like what he did for us, isn't it? He came down into our world. That's what we've been learning this week. He humbled himself. He submitted himself to the Father's will. He took upon a body. He laid aside his royal robes. He veiled his glory. And he humbled himself. He emptied himself, the scripture says. He was found in fashion as a man, and he became obedient up to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He was a servant. We see Jesus submitting. He goes with his mom and dad. And he'll go with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Just as he came down from heaven to be our Savior, he'll be the one that never leaves us. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He went down with Mary and Joseph. He went with them. He honored his parents. He fulfilled all righteousness. Finish the text with me again. We'll read it and we'll be done. Jesus increased, verse 52, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This was age 12. 18 more years until we see him again. He knew his destiny. He knew his calling. There's a word of encouragement here for somebody tonight. God may have called you to something, but he hasn't released you into that. Don't be impatient. Don't be impatient. Don't rush for the public ministry. Don't rush for the public spotlight. Stay with Jesus. Learn of him. Submit yourselves to your family, to your parents. Follow his word. Consume his word. As our brother told us, let it wash you as water. Let it build you up. Let it give you the strength and the sustenance. And when it's time, he'll show you. He'll release you. Let's review. How do you lose Christ? How do you walk away from him? Carelessness. We stop talking to him. We get caught up with other things. How do we cure it? We stop. We survey. We look around and find out where we're at. We repent. We change directions. And we go back to him. It's the same prescription that he gave to them in the book of Revelation. Remember, therefore, where you've fallen. Amen. And repent. And do the first works. Amen. Go back. They'd left their first love. It's the same thing. We just see it in this example. You'll find the Savior right there. He was sitting, he was speaking, he was submitting. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. Are you away from the Lord tonight? Come home. Have you just been given in part of it? Are you upset because you can't do something? We learned that last night about that. Was it the Kohathites? Is that right? Did I pronounce that right? That tribe of Levi, Kohathites? They had something to do, but they wanted something else. They weren't content with where they were. The highest relationship and the greatest thing in this world is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's nothing any better. It's not in money. It's not in fame and prestige. If you know Christ Jesus, it's the greatest thing in this universe. It's knowing Him and walking with Him. Well, it's not that way with me, Michael. Well, if you need help, we got a couple of elders. I'm going to ask the elders if you would just raise your hands. Most of you know where they are. We got one here. We've got one in the back. Got two in the back. If things aren't where they need to be, find an elder. Talk to them. They'll pray with you. But let's not walk away from Him. Because to know Him is to have eternal life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this wonderful portion of Scripture. And I pray that You would exalt Your Son in the midst of this as we see His example. As we see a life that was fully yielded to You at an early age. As we see a life that was set on doing those things that pleased You. For those of us that know You, Father, we know that in our heart that's what we want to do. That's our heart is to do those things, but yet we find the flesh is there in this struggle. And we confess with Paul, we are wretched men and women and we need Your help. But we know that You can give us the power and the victory through Your Word and through God the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that tonight would be a breakthrough for anyone that's struggling. For those that are faithfully following You, would You encourage them, Lord? Encourage them to keep seeking and walking step by step with You. If there's any that are lost tonight, draw them to Yourself. Bless Your people as we depart. We pray Your peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.